in underground and dance music. Trickstar Radio.
Speaking to the best underground artists from around the world. Exclusively here on Trickstar Radio. Breakfast with Kovu presents the Interview Hour.
Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. We're back inside the building once again as we continue our interview hour series, our daily interview section, looking at different artists from around the UK and, of course, worldwide as well, looking at the projects they're working on, the sounds they are built from, and, of course, what is on the way today. I'm very excited to get into this conversation. We've been running his music now for a couple of weeks. I've been absolutely loving spinning his tunes in both a sort of breakfast setting and a DJ setting. The guy has one of the most catchy sets of tunes out there right now. Man like Damola Davis is on the line. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, boss. Thanks for having me, bro. One love, man.
It's good to get you on, man. I'm really excited to get to this conversation. As I said before, we've been running one of your tunes on the show very regularly, and you will have heard a tune the intro as well. It's great to kind of actually get into a conversation with you. As always on these interviews, I love to kind of start right at the beginning, especially when it's your first time on the show. So let's take things right back to the beginning and talk about your roots into, I suppose, finding out that you wanted to be a musician. You wanted to work in and around music. What was the sort of thing that first inspired you to make that kind of switch up?
That is, it's crazy you asked that, because like when I first started music, it wasn't actually, I didn't intend to do music. Like it was just, you know, a couple of kids playing in secondary school. So I was, a lot of people I don't know, I was born in the UK, but went back to Nigeria at a very young age. So I did my primary school and secondary school in Nigeria. So music started for me, like, you know, from primary school days, and then it sort of followed me on into uni. I mean, sorry, into secondary school, and you know, that's where I met like friends that, you know, we're just playing. You know, like, we'll go studio together. Like, you know, we'll just go to studio. We'll just mess about, do freestyle. We forget it. You know, record on a laptop. So all of that stuff. So it started from there, and then I think, even at that point, I just thought of it as a hobby, like it was just for fun. So then after sort of when I finished like my secondary school, I came back to the UK, and you know, from college, that's where I met one of my close friends at that point I was like, you know what, I think we believe that I can actually do this, as a passion, as a career. And from there, there was no looking back from that moment. And the last few years has been amazing. You know, they've been amazing. And, you know, I'm happy with the progress, and I'm happy with the support that, you know, the brand is getting, and, you know, from the likes of yourself. It's good to be here.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, it's such a cool kind of thing, obviously, going, having that kind of back and forth location switch up a lot of the time. Would you say that's kind of affected your sort of sound in the way that you've taken influences in?
I would say so, because I feel like that, because when I came back to London, like I was into more of hip hop. If that was sort of my, you know, what I loved. You know, I grew up on a lot of here, you know, Tupac, like a lot of, you know, Jay-Z, like that's those kind of sounds. So I was like a rapper, but because I was in Nigeria, so that influenced my sound. So when I came and, you know, switched into Afrobeats, funny enough, my first Afrobeat single I remember called Twinkle. So See This Fine Baby, like it was Dremel. I'm not sure if you know about Dremel. So Dremel produced that. So we grew up in the same neighborhood in Nigeria. So we're neighborhood friends, and so he produced that single, and even though it was sort of a joke, you know, recording that song, it was a joke. But when I listened to it, I was actually in college. I was 16 when I did that, and I was like, "Rah, this is a commercial tune." And I think from there, I just started to explore it. Even though I was rapping and singing, but then eventually the rap sort of faded away, and I was just saying, you know what, I would just stick to singing. And that's how we went.
It's a really cool kind of it's a really cool story of how the influences have all kind of twisted together. Then obviously you've got the kind of international influences where alongside that you've obviously got friends involved as well, so it's a cool kind of blend of different influences all working together. So there's a question I always like to ask people on this show, and it's almost becoming like the signature question we tend to ask people, and it's always a fun one to kind of dive into, because you always find people have different stories stories, different kind of fun sort of scenarios that happen. Yeah. Do you remember the first time you actually stepped into a studio setting to actually record and put a tune together?
That just reminds me of like childhood, like my childhood memories. Like when I was, I remember Nigeria, I remember the situation, like we actually, me and my close friend T-Stain, we started this, you know, music in secondary school together. We had this group called X Element. So we all thought like, yeah, we're the bad boys in secondary school. So we actually like skipped, you know, we had a lesson and we skipped the class just to go and record. Like one of the producers said, oh yeah, come use my studio. So we actually, at that time I was in boarding school. So I actually took some of the pocket money I was getting to actually go and you know, pay the producer to record. So I even remember it was very funny because we got to the studio and I did a freestyle, and that was the first time I actually jumped on a mic. And when they tell you to do like doubles, they say, oh yeah, come and double it, come and repeat what you've said. I was just like, I was stammering because I could not even remember what I was saying. So the whole process of, you know, writing down your lyrics wasn't part of my process. And I even remember the chorus, like, hey, just bounce, just shake it, shake it like that. Literally, it's so funny. Like, yeah, that was the first time I actually entered the studio, I created a hook. And funny enough, we actually, the principal of the school, even though we were in trouble the next day, he actually said he loved the tune. So that was
you got away with one. That's cool. And
do you believe that the next year, the end of the year party, like we actually performed it. But that was memories.
Oh, that's an awesome story, man. That's such a cool one. This is why I love asking this question, because there's always something that people can take from it. But kind of fast-forwarding then to this year specifically, because obviously you've been very busy. We've seen a lot of music landing. Yeah. Obviously, you started off the year with a track called Reigning Queen. Talk to me about this one, because it feels a little bit different, this one, obviously, sort of stylistically.
Yeah, I mean, Reigning Queen, funny enough, Reigning Queen was actually a song that I recorded. So so I recorded with my, you know, one of my close buddies, and, you know, so we're in a duo together called Tubada. So Reigning Queen was one of the projects that we actually worked on whilst we're a duo. So it was like an unreleased project. We've been sitting on that project for years, like almost 4 years that song has been there. But I think we sort of felt like the feedback with people in our lives, you know, like, you know, and, you know, music ears that have used the music ears, they've been said, oh wow, this is actually a beautiful song. And we've always kept it, like, you know, we speak and say, oh yeah, we need to drop this, but oh yeah, we'll get to it. But because we all have our different priorities, we never had a chance to actually release that song. And, you know, Valentine was coming and you say, you know, why not? Let's just push it out there. And It actually did very well. You know, even though personally I wasn't expecting to do it, because it was just one of those projects that I had already planned the year. So it was someone, oh yeah, let's just drop it. And, you know, it did good, good numbers. Like, it did over 70,000 streams, so far on Spotify and all platforms actually. So it was a really good tune. And for me, I think it kind of, it's a different side to me, like that sort of R&B sort of reggae like side of things. And that just shows one of my influences, because I am influenced by the likes of, you know, Sean Paul was literally one of my earliest influences. Like, reggae dancehall was literally one of my earliest influences. And those that are close to me know that my nickname is Bon Mataguana. So I've always called myself Bon Mataguana in the early days of school, just like as a, you know, the dancehall thing. So Reigning Queen, yeah, is one of those tunes that is close to my heart, like, really. And yeah, awesome. I'm really happy we recorded that.
It's a cool one to kind of see the year, I feel, kind of kickstart with as well, because it does have this very kind of different vibe to it. Again, on the show, we absolutely love the kind of rootsy side of things. We love diving into a much more sort of reggae-inspired feel. The cool thing is, it's the switch-up that we then see moving into the next release of the year. Now, I love a catalogue that changes. I love seeing a catalogue that's constantly switching and rotating and going in different directions.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
We'll do it. And obviously, Don Dada is the track that comes next on this listing, alongside LAX, a huge link-up.
Big ups.
How was this put together? Because this is always cool to see these big link-ups.
Like, literally, like, that. This whole conversation started in October last year. So originally, I, even though LAX was on one of the list of artists I wanted to work with, and, you know, he, you know, originally, you know, LAX was, you know, he's a UK, you know, he was in the UK, you know, before, you know, he moved back to Nigeria. So he's sort of an artist that actually I've been inspired by his sounds and, you know, the quality of his music. And But funny enough, my stylist, because my stylist, shout out to, you know, Source, Felix House, you know, he because he's close friends with LEX. So I didn't even know at the time that he was styling LEX up until last year. And he says, oh, bro, I mean, he called me actually, it was on the night time, like it was around like 11:30, like midnight. And he called me, oh, bro, what are you doing now? I said, nothing. He said, bro, I'm here with LEX. Do you want to speak to him? Literally just put me on the spot straight away. That says, yeah, yeah.
That's a mad call to kind of receive, isn't it?
literally, it was crazy. So I was like, oh, yeah, I've spoken to LEX about you. Bro, we need to do a collab. We need to do a collab with LEX. Bro, you need to be on this. Then I said, oh, yeah, yeah, this is extra exciting. So I spoke to LEX. LEX was really, you know, he's a very cool guy, very humble, you know, on the phone, in person. You know, he's a very, very cool guy. And, you know, very big ups to him on that for, you know, for working with me on that song. So literally he said, yeah, he'll work with me on a song. So funny enough, at that point, because it was so sudden, I wasn't prepared. I didn't have any beats. It was like, oh yeah, he wants to work with you ASAP. Like, you guys need to work on something ASAP. You know, he's only, at that time, he was actually in London for just only a few days, but because of other like commitments, I wasn't able to, you know, link up with him in the studio. So he said, oh, don't worry, I've got this mad producer in Nigeria called QB. He's like, he's produced for, you know, the likes of Lekon, like a lot of Adekunle Gold. So he's one of the biggest in Africa right now. And he said, oh yeah, I've got a few beats that, you know, so he sent me the beats. But what happened with those beats is that he had already done some stuff on those beats. And it was like, oh, just listen to this. What do you think about this vibe? And then he sent about 3-4 beats. And I just heard that Dondada vibe. And I was like, nah, this is it. This is the vibe. And from there, literally the next day, I went to the studio. That song was literally ready that same week. So the song dropped in March, but the song was ready from the last week in November, actually. So I was just sitting on it. So literally when I was speaking to my friends that would say, oh, we're gonna drop Raining Queen, you know, in my head I was like, oh, let me just get this song out there. I need to focus on Dondada. Literally that was that song to me really, it's a game changer, because I've been doing music for a long time, and to be able to have that song that could, you know, that can break a lot of, you know, that could break those records. Like right now it's on 500k plus streams. That's literally one of my biggest, my first 500k stream ever. And yeah, so it's really good to see that. And you know, I'm speechless, because yeah, that was a good start to the, you know, to the year, and for me as well, like, you know, to continue that the pace and what we're trying to achieve this year.
Definitely, so, yeah. Man. I mean, it's really cool to see, and obviously off the back of that, you haven't rested on your laurels, you haven't sat still, you've very much kind of moved forward and pushed into the next one. And that's the main tune we're here to talk about today, because this is a tune that I've been running on a regular basis. I've played it in mixes. It's a tune that just has this such an addictive kind of hook on it. It's just got such a bright kind of feel to it. Again, Gebese, talk to me about this tune. Was this always planned to be the next one on the list?
Fun enough, no. So when I did them, so basically like with my team, like, because I've already recorded a lot of content. Like I had over, like, I can't even count, hundreds of songs. Like I wouldn't say hundreds of songs, but like literally close to like yeah, 100 songs that I was sitting on, because I was getting so excited. Oh yeah, I'm gonna drop like two EPs a year. Like, slow down, let's plan this properly. So Bese was actually meant to drop with a previous EP. Bese was a freestyle when I first recorded it, and I didn't like the song, but my manager loved that song. He was like, oh bro, this is a banging tune. And it was meant to go with my last EP, The True Godzilla, but he said, you know what, no, we can't put this because it doesn't fit in the EP, and it should be a standalone song. So I wanted to put it in my upcoming EP again this year, and he was like, you know what, trust me, let's drop this song on its own, bro. Let's trust me. And I just said, you know what, why not, let's go with it. We've got a banger already, we've got Dondada, let's keep up the pace, let's keep it going, you know. If the fans love it, good. If they don't love it, we'll move to the next song. And yeah, we just dropped it, and the response has been crazy, you know. A lot of support from, you know, the likes of yourself, Jay, and you know, the likes of you know, DJ Edo, Ross Kwame, and, you know, BBC One Extra, Capital Extra, BBC Radio 1.
We're talking about, not including myself here, we're talking about very established kind of UK, like mainstays, supporting. That must be a cool feeling to have, to see these, legends of the game back in it.
Yes. I wasn't expecting it. And not to talk of, even Apple Music supporting it, putting it on, five of their, editorial playlists. So getting that editorial support as well, it's amazing to see that, it was one of those tunes that I didn't plan for it to be, such a big tune. It just happened, really.
amazing man. I mean, this is the thing with this as a tune is one that I would spin in so many different locations. Like, I'm playing this weekend. Wow. It's on my set list. It's in straight away. It's one of those, just because of how catchy it is. And again, I've clocked this with a few of your tunes. Did you purposefully aim to have the hooks as catchy as they are? Because I find myself walking around the house just like with them earworming into me just the entire
time. So to be honest, the way I record my hooks, if I'm not feeling it, if it's not making sense to me, I'll literally, sometimes I could record three hooks and I'll pick the catchy one. It has to connect with me. And a lot of times I'm very playful with my lyrics. Artists, they write their songs and then they get a producer to produce it. I'm the kind of artist that will go to a producer. You produce it on the fly. I'm actually vibing to it. I'm creating that hook for it. So the hook is the first thing I create before I create any other thing. So because that's very important. That's what sticks with people. So yeah, you could say there's a bit of intention. Me being intentional in writing those catchy hooks. Yeah,
that's cool, man. And you can hear it. You can hear the intention. You can hear because they stick in my head, bro. I'm literally listening through, walking around the house, just going, it's that one again. It's been in there all week. I don't have to get it out. I mean, I've got to say, dude, it's been really good to kind of speak to you today. Obviously, listening through everything that's going on, kind of getting a bit of backstory, a bit of a kind of a journey into the journey more than anything else of your sort of sound, and it does all make a lot of sense. I've got one more question for you. Obviously, this new single is the one that's out there right now. What's the sort of rest of the year looking like for you, release-wise? Is there a lot stacked up, or are you going to be pulling stuff back?
Well, there's a lot stacked up actually. So in terms of next steps, so I've actually got an EP dropping end of next month. It's dropping next. I'm not going to spill the title, but yeah, it's literally, I can tell you that it's five solid songs on there. This year was part of those five. It's a good song, and I think on this EP, I took on a different personality, just like that. Like towards the ladies, basically, like going for the ladies this time. I'm just passing that message of love on that one. So after that EP, I've got a few videos dropping as well, and hopefully we can end the year with a banger. Or but I feel like the EP itself would do a good job. But hopefully if I'm not tired, I can drop another banger.
Awesome, man. Well, I've got to say, it's been great getting to have you on the show. It's been great to chat to you. Thanks for taking the time out of your morning, man. It's been great.
Thanks so much, Jay. Really appreciate you.
Each and every time. We're going to jump into the new single next and actually have a look at a couple of the other bits we've mentioned today sound-wise as well. Following on from that, we are going to get into today's episode of The Dub Shack. So do keep it locked and don't go anywhere, people. Just before we go, Damona, where can people find you on social media platforms?
So you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter, on Facebook at Damona Davis. And also, if you're a fan of TikTok, you can get them on TikTok as well, Damola Davis 1. So thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate you. Let's do this.
There we go, man. Keep it locked and don't go anywhere, people. We're live on Trickstar Radio this morning. This is Breakfast with Kovu. Don't go anywhere. Yeah.
The South Coast's biggest underground music station. Trickstar Radio.